بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today this is our 42nd session. Actually reading from Lessons in Fiqh, Level 3, يعني مستوى ثالث, Islamic University of Medina Arabic Language Institute. And for the past couple of weeks we have been dealing with one type of obligatory zakat, urud al-tijara. And we read originally from our textbook, and we read from some of the secondary sources. And last week, we read the view of the majority of scholars as it was presented by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. And tonight, we want to look at the view of the minority as represented by Sheikh Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani, rahimahullah. Okay, so again, this is a matter about which there's a big difference of opinion. And I don't know if anybody can remember or recall yani some of the argument or some of the position that Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen presented in his discussion of this matter last week. But we did say that he mentioned like four points, okay? So the first point that he mentioned is that urud al-tijara, it's from all types of merchandise, whatever it may be, and that the proof for it is the general meaning of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ma'arij, 70th Surah, 24th and 25th Ayat, وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌ مَعْلُومٌ لِسَعِلْ وَالْمَحْرُومِ يعني, and those who there's a right over their wealth, yani those who in their wealth there's a right for the one who asks and those who are deprived, who are in need, okay? وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌ مَعْلُومٌ. Whoever has wealth beyond their need, then there is a haqq that is well known. Ma'loom, yani the right of the people who are needy. This is a general yani proof. He also mentioned, secondly, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ when he sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen. He said, "A'limhum anna Allah iftarra alayhim sadaqatun fi amwalihim tu'khadhu min agniyaihim faturaddu ala fuqaraihim." That teach them that Allah has made obligatory upon them sadaqah, yani zakat, obligatory zakat, which is to be taken from their wealth, the wealth of the rich, and given to their poor. This is also a general evidence, yani Allah made yani zakat obligatory upon the wealthy, but it doesn't specify which type of wealth or how yani it is to be regulated. So it's a general evidence. Then the Shaykh mentions the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, إنما العمل بالنيات, that actions are judged by intentions, and he uses this to make his third point, which is that if the intent of the people who have this merchandise is that it is merely wealth for them, it's merely wealth, then by qiyas it should have the same ruling as gold and silver or whatever takes its place. So he said it's like wealth. The proof of it is the person buys this merchandise in the morning, if the price raises before the end of the day, they're going to get rid of it immediately, because the intent is what? Just to get money. So for them, it's like money. That's the third point. And the last point that the Shaykh makes is that is a rational argument. The first point is the ayat. The second point is the hadith, general evidences. The third point is the point of intent, comparison, is qiyas, actually. And the fourth point is a rational argument. He said, if we were to take the position that the zakat or merchandise that's intended for sale is not obligatory, then a lot of the wealth of the merchants would go without being subjected to zakat. Because much of their wealth, he said, is the merchandise that they possess. Yani the merchants, a merchant, much of their wealth is in their merchandise. Okay, and then that was the end of what the Shaykh said. He said these are the four types of wealth that are subject to zakat. He had mentioned previously yani gold and silver, cattle, and crops, and things like that. And then he said, this one, urud al-tijara. That was the argument, or that was the discussion, the presentation for the majority. And we don't claim that it is exhaustive, that he has covered every point, but he has given us a general idea of the view of the majority. I just want to make one point before I read what Sheikh al-Albani said, because previously we had read from Sheikh al-Albani some little bit of his discussion from Ikhtiyarat, in which he said that the general rule is that wealth, like a person, like the lives of the people, the blood of the people, and their honor, So wealth also is something that is sacred. It cannot be violated. Nobody's wealth can be taken except with a proof from the Quran, from the authentic Sunnah, or a clear ijma. And his argument is that there's no proof in the Quran, nor in the Sunnah, nor in any clear ijma for the zakat in the restricted, defined way that the majority holds zakat on merchandise. Meaning that it has to reach a nisab, that it has to be held for one whole year, and that the rate of zakat on is 2.5%. These details is the disputed issue. There's no text in the Quran or in the authentic Sunnah or ijma that supports the zakat on merchandise that's intended for sale with these details. That's the disputed area. Not that there's no zakat on merchandise, but with these details, that's the disputed issue. I just want to remind us that that's what yani the Shaykh mentioned when we read from his comments the first time in brief, because we didn't read all of what he said. And he also mentioned a second point. He said that even though there are some athar from some of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, which suggest that there is a zakat or merchandise when it is sold, but none of those athar mention that it has to be a certain nisab, that it has to be held for 1 year, or that it's at the rate of 2.5%. None of them mention that. So again, he's saying, even these evidences, if we were to take them, they don't prove the specific details of the zakat or merchandise intended for sale in the way that is the view of the majority of the scholars, in the way that they hold it. That it doesn't prove that. And the final thing that the Shaykh said, and I'm summarizing his argument also from what we read previously, and he said that urud at-tijara, yani merchandise intended for sale, was well known in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's mentioned in the Quran, it's mentioned in authentic hadith, it was mentioned on many occasions. And the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sakatu anhu, he didn't say a word about there has to be a hawl, that there has to be a nisab, that it's at the rate of 2.5%. This is a proof that he didn't talk about this intentionally, that he left it, that it was intended that it not be subjected to these rules. And the purpose of this is some wisdom. He said, لِحِكْمَةٍ بَالِغَةٍ, yani some far-reaching wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he didn't make it taxable in this way. Okay, that's the summary of what we presented in the first two sessions. And today, inshallah, we end with the minority opinion. And I don't know if you had a chance to read the whole discussion in it. I probably won't read it all because it's more than 3 pages long, but I'm going to read most of it. I'm going to try to read most of it in the time that we have left. And some of it I may have to skip, and some of it I may summarize. But anyway, you have the paper yourself, and I sent you the PDF file so you can follow it yani on your own time. The Shaykh was asked about urud al-tijara. It is known that there's a difference of opinion amongst the scholars concerning the zakat on this, and the majority opinion is what we have presented, and the minority opinion is also what we have previously summarized. They said, we want you to clarify this issue for us in such a way that our heart will be content, that we know what is the correct view. This is what the Shaykh said. After praising Allah and seeking help from Allah and asking for forgiveness of Allah and seeking refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil of our deeds, and the yani khutbah al-hajjah. After this he said, amma ba'd. فَمِنَ الْمَعْلُومِ إِنْدَ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ خَاطِبَ أَنَّ الْعَصْلَ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ كَمَا هُوَ الْعَصْلُ فِي الدِّمَاءِ وَفِي it should be الْأَعْرَاد. It says الْفُرُود, but it should be الْأَعْرَاد, يعني the plural of أَرْض, يعني الْأَمْوَال وَالدِّمَاءِ وَالْأَعْرَاد. يعني he said it is well known amongst the people of knowledge with certainty that the original ruling concerning wealth, and the original ruling concerning blood, spilling blood, and the original ruling concerning people's honor, Allah wa huwa al-hurma, that it is sacred. Yani people's wealth, you cannot violate it. You can't just take somebody's money, yani, in violation of the law. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum. Can't keep a good man down. Give him a cheer, please. Barakallahu feekum wa ahlan bikum. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Here it is. Here he is. Naam. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Naam. Allah yashfik. Wa yuqawwi wa yassir. Naam. So the Shaykh, he said, and this is well known, that the original ruling is that people's blood is sacred, their honor is sacred, and their wealth is sacred. وَأَنَّهُ لَا يَجُوز إِيجَاب شَيْءٍ مِّنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمُورِ الثَّلَاثَ إِلَّا بِالنَّصِ مِّنْ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ أَوْ مِّنْ حَدِيثِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَوْ إِجْمَاءٍ مُتَيَكِّنٍ مِّنْ عُلَمَاءِ الْأُمَّةِ. So therefore, it is not permissible, لَا يَجُوز, to make obligatory anything from these affairs, these three affairs. It's not obligatory to make, it's not permissible to make obligatory in these affairs except by a text from the Book of Allah or a hadith from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or a ijma that is certain, not a claimed ijma. Like most of the time when the scholars say ijma, ajma ala hadha, ajma ala hadha, and most of the time when you check, you find that it's not ijma, that some scholars have differed. He's saying a certain clear ijma. And the reason why he's saying that is because there are some scholars who claim ijma on this, that there is ijma on the merchandise that's intended for sale with these restrictions, yani with these definitions, these limitations, yani that it has to be a hawl, 1 year, that it has to be a nisab, and it has to be at the rate of 2.5%. There is a claim to ijma upon this, when in fact there is no ijma, for sure, absolutely not. Yani not with all the scholars who differ from past and present. There's difference of opinion, Allahu a'lam, yani about what is most correct, but in any case, there's no ijma. The Shaykh says, as far as what I know, and what I have come across, and what I have yani reached, yani fima alimtu, wat tala'atu alayhi wa waqaftu, yani according to my knowledge, what I know, lam ajid dalilan mimma ya'udu ila hadhihi al-masadir al-thalathati ala ma dhahaba ilayhi akthar al-ulama min al-fuqaha al-mutaqaddimin wal-mutaakhirin min ijab zakat ala urud al-tijar bil-shartaini al-madhkurayni anifan fi su'alik. He said, I didn't find any evidence that goes back to these three sources, the Qur'an, Sunnah, and Ijma', that supports the view of the majority of the scholars of fiqh from the early generations or the later generations, that say that there is obligatory zakat or merchandise intended for sale with these two mentioned conditions that are mentioned in the question. Yani the two conditions that they mention in the question is the nisab and the hawl. They didn't mention the rate of 2.5%. But they mentioned that the condition has to be nisab, minimum nisab, and there has to be hawl, 1 year in the person's possession. He said, I didn't find any support for this with these two conditions. Again, the point is what? He's not saying that there's no zakat on urud al-tijara, but he's saying with these conditions. I didn't find any evidence for it. And then he said, وَهُوَ أن يبلغ النصاب أولا ثم أن يحول عليه الحول ثانيا. يعني these two conditions, the nisab and the hawl. وشيء ثالث, and then we got, he's adding now, that didn't come in the question, a third matter, that they, the majority, say, يقولونه أنه إذا تحقق هذان الشرطان في شيء من عروض التجارة فلا بد من تقويم هذه العروض في آخر كل سنة بعد أن حول عليه الحول بعد التقويم يخرج من القيمة المقدرة بالمئة اثنين ونصف كما هو الشأن في زكاة النقدين. He said the third thing that we're going to add is that the majority hold that if these two conditions are achieved or realized concerning merchandise that's intended for sale, then لا بد من تقويم. Then the person has to evaluate the value of this merchandise at the end of every year. Well, ya Abdullah, at the end of every year, they claim. At the end of every year, you got to evaluate your merchandise. And if a year has passed over it, and after evaluating it, you have to give the zakat in its estimated value at the percentage of ithnain wa nisf, yani 2.5%. Just like what has to be done in the zakat of a naqdain, yani the two sources of currency, yani gold and silver, whatever takes their place. The like of this tafsil, yani the likeness of this, these details that they are claiming, yani is obligatory. He said, لم نجده منصوبا كما ذكرنا في الكتاب والسنة وإجماع الأمة. We didn't find it, any textual proof, not in the book, the Sunnah or إجماع of the Ummah, and the Asl, as we have already mentioned, yani فنحن موقفنا موقف المنع من أن يفرض زكاة على أموال التجارة بكيفية وتقييد لم يرد لهما ذكر في مصدر من تلك المصادر. Okay, this is our position. Sheikh Al-Albani is saying, he's representing the position of the minority. موقفنا is the position of prohibition. It's prohibited to take people's wealth. To make it obligatory as zakat on the wealth of the merchants, بكيفيةٍ أو تقييدٍ, in a manner or in a way that has not been mentioned in any masdar from those يعني مصادر, يعني the sources, the Quran or Sunnah ijma. يعني if there's no dalil that has mentioned it is, then how can we make it obligatory upon people? Here for Abdul Haq, the Sheikh says, لكن لكن, that one was for you, Abdullah. This one's for Abdul Haq. لكن لا يخفى على كل باحث أو عالم أن هناك نصوصا عامة تأمر بإخراج الزكاة بتطهير النفوس بإخراج الزكاة, يعني نصوصا عامة. But it is not hidden from any researcher or any scholar that there are general texts, and we just summarized some of them, general texts that command us to give the zakat بتطهير النفوس, for the purpose of purifying the people who possess that wealth, purifying themselves by distributing the zakat. These are نصوصا عامة, general evidences, general texts. ثم هناك نصوص خاصة بينت ما هي الأشياء التي تجب عليها الزكاة. And then there are some other texts that are particular, that are specific, which make clear those things which it is obligatory to give zakat on. There are some specific, there are general texts, wealth is subject to zakat. But there are specific texts that mention specific types of wealth that is obligatory to be subject to zakat. وما هي المقادر, and how much you have to give, at what rate. That is obligatory. No matter if it is that which is related to the two types of currencies, gold and silver, as we have mentioned previously, or that which is related to some of the animals, yani domesticated animals like sheep and cows and camels, or that which is connected to fruits, crops. Okay? Specific texts related to these three types of wealth, yani gold and silver, animals and crops. وهناك نصوص تتعلق ببيان, and there are also some texts which are clarifying, يعني نصوص على هذه الأنواع, which clarify يعني these three types. يعني the majority is saying four types, including merchandise that's intended for sale. The minority is saying three types have specific texts which prove the obligation and how it has to be done, whether there's a haul, يعني a nisab, at what rate, and all of that. There are specific texts mentioning this. ونحن نقول لن تجدوا هذه النصوص وتنفذها ولا نزيد عليها استعمالا للنظر أو القياس لأن هناك ما يمنع منه. He said, we, our view is that we didn't lend. You will not find the text that support those specific details for merchandise intended for sale. You will not find it. The execution of the zakat upon it in this manner, and we will not add anything, yani, to what is in the text by utilizing our nadhr, yani the way we're looking at it, our view, or by qiyas, yani by qiyas we're connecting this to that, or in our view intellectually, rationally, we're saying this and that. He said la nazidu alayha, yani we're not going beyond the text which necessitates wealth being taken from a person's wealth by the Sharia. We're not going to go beyond the text, because there's that which prevents us from doing so. هناك ما يمنع منه ألا وهو ذلك الأصل. Isn't it the origin, the أصل concerning يعني wealth, which is the same as the origin concerning honor, which is the same as the origin concerning people's blood that is sacred. The likeness of the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal رضي الله تعالى عنه حينما أرسله الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى اليمن داعية ومباشرة ومعلما, قال له عليه الصلاة والسلام لا تأخذ الصدقاء إلا من هذه الأنواع الأربعة. We came across this hadith in our first session, right? He said there are texts which prevent us from taking from the people's wealth except that which has been specified by the Sharia, the likeness of the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, when he was sent by the Prophet ﷺ to Yemen as one to call to Islam and to give the people the good news and to teach them the deen of Islam. And the Prophet ﷺ said to him, do not take sadaqah, yani from the people, except from these four types. And he mentioned wheat and barley and dates and raisins. فَإِذَنْ قَوْلُهُ لَا تَأْخُذْ. This statement of the Prophet ﷺ is تَأْكِيدًا لِتِلْكَ الْقَاعِدَةِ يعني العصل. لِأَنَّ الْعَصُلُ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ الْحُرْمَةِ إِلَّا فِي مَا جَاءَ فِيهِ النَّاسِ. So this hadith, this statement of the Prophet, do not take, is affirmation or confirmation of that principle, that qa'idah, that is what? The asl, the original rule concerning wealth, is that it is sacred. Except if there is a text that allows you to take from somebody's wealth, in a particular manner or in whatever way. وَانْضَمَّ إِلَى هَذِهِ الْأَحَدِيثِ أُخْرَى تُصَرِّ. And we add to this other hadith, which are very clear, تُصَرِّحُ, other hadith. Like, for example, the hadith that's muttafaqun alayh, it is the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, لا صدقة على عبد الرجل ولا على فرسه. There's no sadaqah on the slave of a man's slave, or on his horse. Yani meaning that this hadith is a proof, even the majority of the scholars use this as a general proof, that a person's wealth, whether his slave or his horse or whatever, that is not included in the specified wealth that are subject to zakat, the four categories according to them, three categories according to the minority. And they use this as hadith as what? That a person's property cannot be subject to zakat just because they have a lot of slaves or a lot of horses or a lot of cars. If it's not from those things that are subject to zakat by the Sharia specified by specific text, then we can't touch it. The Shaykh is saying that this hadith also supports the original rule what? That a person's wealth is sacred unless there's a text exempting it from that sacredness. He said, and this hadith, yani, is in the Sahihain al-Bukhari and Muslim, for this reason. Now he's bringing more proofs to support the minority view. Yani to support what the view? That a person's wealth outside of what has been specified in the Sharia with texts specifically, that is sacred, you can't touch it. Now he said, for this reason, when some merchants came from Sham to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, وَمَعَهُمْ خَيْلٌ, and they had with them horses, التجارة, yani horses that they were buying and selling. قِيلَ لَهُ, yani these people came from Sham, they're merchants, they're selling horses. It was said to Umar, the Khalifa, يَا أَمِرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ خُذْ مِنْهَا زَكَاتَهَا. Take the zakat from them, from those horses that they are selling. خُذْ, yani, take it. Yani, because what? Yani, that's the right of the Amir, the Khalifa. Take from it its zakat. Qala radiallahu anhu. What did Umar respond to them saying? إِنَّهُ لَمْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ صَاحِبَايَ مِنْ قَبْلِ فَأَلْحَى وَأَلْحُ. He said, my two companions, صَاحِبَايَ. Who was his two companions? The Prophet ﷺ, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who was the rulers before him? The Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr. He said, لَمْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ صَاحِبَايَ. They didn't do it. The people who were before me, the Prophet and Abu Bakr, and he remained, yani, insistent, consistent on his position. And he refused to take it. وَكَمَا فِي مَجْلِسْ عَلِي بِنْ أَبِي طَالِبْ. And also, in a gathering, in the presence of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhum, it was said to him, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, خُذْهَا مِنْهُمْ صَدَقَةً. Take it, yani from them as a sadaqah, عَلَى أَنَّهَا صَدَقَةً مِنَ الصَّدَقَاتِ. What is the meaning of عَلَى أَنَّهَا صَدَقَةً مِنَ الصَّدَقَاتِ? Anybody heard this expression before? In the hadith of Zakat al-Fitr? Not Zakat al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha? A person, or Zakat al-Fitr, if it's given after the Salat, after the Eid al-Salat, what is it? As-sadaqa min as-sadaqat. Yani, it's not considered as zakat al-fitr. It's just general charity. They're just giving something freely because Zakatul Fitr has to be given before the Salatul Eid. Here, the people said to him, they know that there's such a thing as a sadaqah that's not the obligatory sadaqah. So they said to Ali, they saw that Umar is not going to touch it, right? So they tried Ali. They said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, take it as a sadaqah. Yani, as not being obligatory, but sadaqatan min as-sadaqat. Yani, just as a general charity. فَأَخَذَهَا فَطَابَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. So he took it, and their hearts were content with that. What's the point here? That there is sadaqah on all wealth, but that sadaqah is whatever a person wants to give, whatever their heart is content with. So the people said, just take it as just a general charity. He took it and they were content with this. That he took it, not as zakat, but as a general charity. The Shaykh, he says, يعني, فهذا دليل على أن الخيل كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يأخذ عليها الزكاة. This is a proof that horses, يعني, which are intended for trade, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not used to take zakat from them. يعني obligatory zakat in the way that the zakat is taken on gold and silver or that which takes its place. والحديث في مسند إمام أحمد, يعني this hadith is in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, and in it is a clarification that horses which were raised and sold, يعني intended for trade, يعني من أجل المتاجرة فيها أنه لا زكاة عليها, that there is no zakat on these animals. Unlike cows and camels and sheep and goats, there's no zakat on horses that are raised also, and they are intended for sale also, and there's no zakat upon them. أي كما فرض الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم زكاة على الحيوانات الأخرى التي سبق ذكرها كالغنم والبقر والإبل. يعني, there's no zakat on these horses. يعني, as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, in the way that the Prophet made it obligatory for there to be zakat on animals, other animals, which, يعني, like for example, الغنم, يعني, sheep and cows and camels. وإلى هنا ينتهي بيان ما عندي جواب على ذلك السؤال. The Sheikh says, this is where I finish with my answer concerning your question. But he's not finished yet. يعني, that's what he wanted to present in reference to the question. Then he says, لكن يظن كثير من الفقراء المعاصرين إن لم نقل من المتفقها. يعني, here he's going to discuss, يعني, the scholars of fiqh, the contemporary scholars of fiqh, and he has some discussion about distinguishing between those who just study their madhab and those who compare the four madhahib and so on and so on. But the bottom line is that they are not examining the issues by going to the usul, usul al-fiqh, the principles of usul al-fiqh, and the principles of usul al-hadith, examining the evidences that are mentioned in those books. Is the hadith sahih or not? Is this mutlaq or muqayyid or not? Yani, they didn't go that far. He said they didn't look at that. So here's a long discussion concerning that. And then he shows the difference between those people who are scholars of fiqh, yani, who just go by the books of fiqh, what's in the books of fiqh. But they didn't, yani, research the depths of the issues, checking the hadith, checking the athar, checking, yani, the evidences that they use with the principles of usul. Yani, for example, this is a general evidence. This is a qiyas. Is qiyas, yani, can qiyas be used against a text from the Quran or from the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Yani, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a clear statement in authentic hadith, can we then use qiyas to come to a different conclusion and oppose the text of the hadith that's authentic or ayah from the Quran? That's the point that he's making, that these people are sometimes using the evidences in a way that show they didn't go into the depth of the principles and examine them originally. Rather, they just took the opinions of the scholars from in the books of fiqh. Then the Shaykh, he says, and this is what I want to close with, an important point that he mentions here, he says that, and there's another matter, which I hope it will be the last thing, yani, concerning these people who have their views, yani, in their research, and they're looking at the maslaha of the poor people and the needy people. They're just looking, yani, in interest of the poor, we should do this or we should do that. Irregardless of whether or not they have a textual proof from the Quran or Sunnah or Ijma'. They're just looking at the maslaha of the poor, which is a noble thing, right? But not in contradiction to the evidences from Quran and Sunnah. He said these people are looking at the issue, that we are talking about right now, يعني بعين واحدة. They're just looking at it one way, with one eye. They don't have a full few view. And here's the clarification. He said, they are saying that there's no maslaha. ليس من مصلحة الفقراء المساكين. يعني it is not in the interest of the poor and the needy. Nor is there anything which points to حكمة أحكم الحاكمين. Nor is there anything. يعني in not making a merchandise that's intended for sale, not making it subject to zakat, there's no hikmah that we can see in this from the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That a man who has malayin, yani millions and millions of whatever currency you have, yani in the value of his merchandise that's intended for sale, and then we don't make zakat obligatory upon it, yani with the aim of denying the poor people and the needy from getting their right, which is well known, as mentioned in the saying of Allah, وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ لِلسَّاعِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. And this is another ayah from the Quran, Surah Al-Dhariyat 51, 24 and 25. And he's saying that, they are saying that a person has millions of dollars in merchandise, and if you don't make it obligatory for him to pay zakat on it, this will be depriving the poor and the needy. We don't see any wisdom in this. The Shaykh says, وَالْجَوَابْ عَلَى هَذَا مِنْ نَاحِيَتَيْنِ إِثْنَتَيْنِ. So the answer to them is from two perspectives. And perhaps we will end with this clarification of our speech concerning this issue. And then we'll take, yani from you, إِشْكَالَات, شُبُهَات, and إِعْتِرَاضَات. Yani whatever doubts that you have, yani whatever is unclear to you, شُبُهَات or doubts, or إِعْتِرَاضَات, yani you want to yani oppose what we have said, we're going to hear from you now next, after this. We're just going to make these last 2 points, and then you can say what you want to say. All right, so if you have something to say, inshallah, after these 2 points, you get a chance to speak. And we only have a few minutes left, so let me just kind of summarize what he says here. He says, Jawab al-Awwal. The first response to this argument of the people who want to look at the interest, the maslaha of the poor and the needy, and say that there's no wisdom in this in doing so. This just deprives them of zakat. He said, the first answer is, that we hold to the asl al-am, the general principle, which we have alluded to in the beginning of our speech. So we say that it is obligatory on those rich people who have merchandise intended for sale to give zakat from it. But for the purpose of achieving al-ghaya al-matluba, yani the goal that is intended in giving zakat, yani, for the why zakat has been made obligatory in all, in its different types and different shapes, and that is what is alluded to or pointed to in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَحِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. Yani, he said that the purpose that is intended to achieve by zakat is pointed to in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Tawbah 9, Ayah 103, take from their wealth sadaqah to purify them. تُطَحِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ. Yani for the benefit of the person who has the wealth. That's really the objective. It's for the benefit of the person who has the wealth to purify himself. So, therefore, فَإِذًا عَلَى كُلِّ غَنِيٍّ عِنْدَهُ رُوْدَ تِجَارَةٍ أَنْ يُطَحِّرُ نَفْسَهُ مِمَّا احْضَرَتْ عَلَيْهِ الْأَنْفُوسِ. Yani ash-shuhr. Yani he said, so it is incumbent upon every rich person who has merchandise intended for sale to purify himself. Yani from what? From the greediness. Yani, huh? Shuhr. Naam. Yani from not yani from being stingy or being greedy. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 128th ayat, wa uhdirat al-anfus ash-shuhr. Naam. Yani, here the Shaykh is saying what? That the purpose that is intended by the zakat is that the person free themselves from greed, from stinginess. That they give something from their wealth to purify themselves from this. That is, يُطَحِرُ نَفْسَهُ مِنْ هَذَا الشُّهْ. And that is, by giving in zakat, مَا تُطَيِّبْ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ. That which his nafs is content with. It is my first, second, third page. Yeah, I'm on the third page, yani halfway down the page after the ayat from Surah At-Tawbah. So the Shaykh says, and we're going to address it from two perspectives. The first perspective is that every wealthy person who has merchandise for sale must purify himself by giving some zakat from his wealth in accordance with whatever he's pleased to give. Zakatan wajibatan alayhi. Naam, it is an obligatory zakat. That's obligatory upon him, but its purpose is to purify himself from the filth of stinginess and greed. وَهَذَا جَوَابُ الْجَوَابَ الْأَوَّلِ. This is the first response to them. Yani the first response is what? That it is obligatory for them to give some zakat, not in the restricted manner that's mentioned by the majority, but for the purpose of purifying himself by giving something from the wealth that he has, yani in merchandise that's for sale. So nobody should understand that the rich who have merchandise for sale, لا زكات عليها مطلقا, that it has no, absolutely no zakat upon it. Nobody should understand that. But rather, what we are discussing here, the research that we engage in, it is related to whether or not there's a fixed manner in which that zakat is to be distributed, as we mentioned previously. Yani meaning that there's a hawl, 1 year, that there's nisab, a minimum amount, and that there's a fixed rate, 2.5%. This is what we are talking about. We're not talking about, is there any obligatory zakat? Certainly, there is. أما زكاة المطلقة لابد منها. As far as just zakat in the absolute sense, it must be given. And this is mentioned by in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah, 141st Ayat, وَآتُوا حَقَّهُ يَوْمَ حَصَادِهِ, and give its right on the day of the harvest. This is what is the truth. Yani that the zakat is mutlaq. Yani there is zakat, but not in this restricted manner. Yani, and it should remain as it came in the ayah and in the general evidences, yani ala itlaqihi, general and unrestricted by restrictions that have no basis in the Quran, in the Sunnah, or any clear ijma. Then there's another division of wealth which is muqayyad, yani which is restricted in the manner and in the rate and all of that, as it has been clarified in the Sunnah and in the books of fiqh, in contrary to yani. And not contrary, ala khilaf baynahum fi ba'd al-furu', yani that there's some branches about which there's some differences in those forms of zakat that are agreed upon, that they have a fixed yani restriction, but there's some difference of opinion on some branches of those issues. But generally we know that those classifications of wealth, yani currency, gold and silver, crops and animals, we know that they do have specific rules and regulations, with there being some differences amongst the scholars in some branches of the subject of their zakat. The second matter, and this is what the Shaykh ends with, and this is really the key, the core to the matter. He said, the second matter, I say, وَالْوَاقِيَ يُعِيدْ ذَلِكَ, and the reality of the affair in the world today supports this matter. أَنَّ مِنْ حِكْمَةُ أَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ, that from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His perfect wisdom, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala فَرَضَ عَلَى الْمَالَ الْمَكْنُوزِ زكات معينة بنصاب معلوم ما دام هذا المال مقنوز ولم يفرد مثل هذا الزكاة على هذا المال إن كان مقنوزا وتحول إلى فروض التجارة. يعني he said that what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is from the wisdom of Allah that He has made obligatory upon the wealth that is hoarded up, يعني that's just collected and hoarded, He made a specific zakat with a specific minimum nisab that's well known, as long as that wealth remains maknuz, yani just hoarded up. And He didn't make the life like of that zakat on wealth that was hoarded and then it was transformed into merchandise for sale. Yani if a person took their wealth that they're just hoarding up, storing up in the bank or in their safe, and they actually transformed it into merchandise for sale, it's no longer subject to the zakat of the money that they had in currency, in gold and silver, whatever takes its place. He said, it's no longer subject to that zakat, and there's a wisdom from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala why He made that wealth that's just hoarded up, yani subject to zakat under specific rules, and the wealth that's turned into merchandise for sale, not subject to those rules. وَفِي ذَلِكَ حِكْمَةً بَالِغَةً. And there's a far-reaching wisdom concerning this, and that is, لِأَنَّ الْفَائِدَ الْكُبْرَ بِالنِّسْبَةِ للمجتمع الإسلامي ككل تتحقق بعدم فرض الزكاة هذه المقننة على هذه الأموال التي هي أرود معروضة للتجارة أكثر. And that is because the greater benefit in reference to the Islamic society as a whole is achieved more so, akthar, by not making obligatory the zakat on the merchandise that is yani intended to be sold, like he made it on the wealth that is yani just being hoarded up. And the proof of this, that the fa'ida for the society as a whole is greater in not making obligatory this type of zakat on the merchandise intended for sale, bi dalil anna al-mal al-maknuz indama yatahawwalu ila tijara fi dhalika tahriq li hadhihi al-amwal wa tashghil al-fuqara wal-masakin wa takunu fa'idatuhu awalan akthar min hadhihi an-nisba al-miyawiyya allati tufrad ala al-amwal al-maknuza min dhahab wal-fidda thumma takunu athhar wa ashrah wa ashraf lahum كما أشار إلى ذلك عليه الصلاة والسلام الحديث المعروف اليد العليا خير من اليد السفلى. To the end of the hadith, the Shaykh is saying here, and this is the closing point, the proof of this, that the greater benefit is in not making yani the restricted zakat on the wealth that is intended for merchandise, the proof that the greater benefit is in not making it obligatory is that when this wealth that's just being hoarded up in somebody's bank account or in somebody's safe, when it is transformed into merchandise for sale, this causes that wealth to be in motion, to be what? Yani, moving. Yani, it's not being stored in somebody's safe, now it's circulating in the society. And this caused the poor people and the needy people to be engaged, to be given work. And in this case, the benefit of that wealth now is greater than the 2.5% that would have been obligatory if they just kept it in their safe. Yani, if the man who has millions of dollars kept his money in the bank, he has to give 2.5%. Yani, on $1,000, you have to give $25. On $100,000, you have to give $250. That $100,000, if he put it into merchandise and hired people to work for him, would the benefit be greater in the people having a job that they're going to get a salary from every week, or once a year getting $250? From $100,000. What would be greater? The benefit is clearly greater in that money being transformed into merchandise, circulating in the society, in engaging the people, giving people jobs to people. I'm sorry, what is it?
You took a zero out. $2,500.
$2,500. If the person who has $100,000 worth of merchandise hired people to work to sell that merchandise for him, would the benefit be greater in the salaries that he paid to all of those people, or just giving $2,500 one time in the year? The benefit is clearly greater in him hiring people and putting that money into circulation. There's no doubt about it. It's clearly greater. Not only that, he said, that the benefit is greater than the 2.5% if it had remained, and he just hoarded in his bank account. ثُمَّ تَكُونُ أَطْحَرُ وَأَشْرَفُ. And it will be more pure and more noble for them, yani for the poor people, than it would have been if they are just receiving a handout. Now they have a job. And this is alluded to in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that the upper hand is better than the lower hand. And the upper hand is the one who is given. And the lower hand is the one who is humiliated, receiving, as opposed to having a job and getting a salary that you work for. And it is also indicated in the hadith that's well known of the Prophet ﷺ, أَتْيَبُ الْكَسَبْ كَسَبْ الرَّجُلْ مِنْ عَمَلِ يَدِهِ وَإِنَّ أَوْلَادُكُمْ مِنْ كَسَبِكُمْ. And the Prophet ﷺ said, the most pure of a person's earnings is the earning of a man that he did with the work of his own hands. As opposed to receiving a handout, he had a job. And then the Shaykh says, فَإِذًا تَحَوُّلَ الْمَالِ الْمَكْنُوزِ إِلَى عُرُوضِ التِّجَارَةِ ذَلِكَ أَنْفَعُ لِلْمَسَاكِينَ وَأَشْرَفُ لَهُمْ لِأَنَّهُ يَأْخُذُونَهُ مِنْ كَسَبْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ هَذَا مَا عِنْدِي وَالْآنْ نَسْمَعَ مَا عِنْدَكُمْ. Shaykh said, therefore, transforming the hoarded wealth into merchandise for sale, this is more beneficial to the poor people, and it is more honorable for them to have a job, and that is because now they will be earning their wealth by the work of their own hands. And the praise belongs to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. This is what I have to offer. And now we will hear what you have. But I don't think we have time to hear what you have. So maybe next week, inshallah, we hear what you have. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.